In Nairobi yesterday, you heard the Civil Transparency International representative say that civil society needs to become more engaged. Does the IMF see that as something positive and desirable to help facilitate your own relations with government?
Definitely, yes. It doesn't mean that we always agree with what civil society organizations are talking, but the debate is absolutely necessary. And I try everywhere, every places I go, to have this kind of discussion with civil society organizations. I had it in Nairobi with 20 of them discussing. Some had very tough questions, but that's just fair. And we have to explain to civil society what we're doing. They have to tell us the concern they have. And certainly, the action, especially in Africa, they have trying to put governments on the right tracks is absolutely necessary.
Is it your sense that there's been some progress on eliminating corruption in countries across the continent, or is it still a pretty serious problem?
Both of your sentences are true. There have been some progress, it's still a big concern.
Now, we also have some questions about your proposal for $100 billion a year green fund to mitigate and adapt to climate change. And they want to know about the relationship between climate to core development concerns. A malaria researcher mentions that the Lancet Medical Journal called climate change the biggest threat to global health in the 21st century, and wants to know if the Green Fund could be designed to enable countries to make health sector investments that prepare for climate change. Can the IMF help Africa cushion the projected effects of climate change on health, and will it?
Look, something which has to be clearly understood is that the IMF is not a development agency. We are trying in this problem to play our role, do our part, which is to help finding a financing mechanism which make it possible to have this $100 billion a year available in 2020, which was the request by the Copenhagen Agreement. So our part is to say, okay, you need that much money, it's a huge amount of money which will have a lot of consequences on the global stability, so we need to provide you with something in which, in our view, make it possible. There may be other ideas, the idea will be challenged one by the other one, and finally we'll see what's a good solution. Our business is not down the road to know how this money will be used. Of course, we may have opinion. As a citizen, I have my opinion. You may have yours. A lot of experts, economic experts in the IMF may have their own view, but that's not our business. That's the business of our sister institution, the World Bank, and other development bank. We are not directly providing development policy. We're providing the economic environment, the financing, the stability of the economic environment, which make development possible. So that's true for development. It's true for climate change the same way. What we try to do is providing a contribution which may be helpful to find the right way for financing this huge amount which is needed by developing countries to cope with climate change. The way it will be done has to be defined by other specialized agencies.
How much of a concern do you have about poor countries like Liberia, for example? It has a lot of forests and so forth, but they also have a lot of hungry people. And so there's a real clash between the need to allow those people to make a living, maybe by cutting down the trees, but also by trying to maintain the forest.
Well, one of the things that really makes me proud, there's not so many, is that one of the first things I was able to manage in the 2 weeks of my arrival at the IMF more than 2 years ago was to complete the agreement with Liberia, which was hanging for months and months and months, agreement on debt cancellation for Liberia, because Liberia is a very poor country which absolutely needs to be helped. Now the question you raise is a very good question, that in those countries people have a problem just for their living and the living of their kids. Do they care about environment and deforestation or something like this? That's absolutely understandable that it's not their main problem. On the top of the agenda is what I'm going to eat today and what I'm going to feed my family. So that's why they need special help to mitigate and adapt to climate change. And that's why the need at the global level is so big. You were talking about 100 billion a year. Can you imagine, can people imagine listening to us what $100 billion a year means? It's a huge amount of money, and it's needed by country, developing country, especially poor countries like Liberia, to be able to help people to take into account a problem which obviously for them is not the most important problem of the day. But deforestation in Liberia may have a lot of bad consequences on the future. Look what happened to Haiti, for instance. So they need to fight for today's living, but they need to fight for the future generation of their own country too. For this, they need help, and that's the reason of our engagement in this problem.
Wangari Maathai in Kenya seems to have solved that problem to a certain extent with her tree planting, and she was able to get people to grow enough trees so that they could cut some for what they needed. And
Kenya is doing very well in this field.
Finally, there's interest into what extent the IMF will support grants rather than loans for climate change adaptation. You opened the door to that approach in Nairobi, saying that much of this financing should come from grants or highly concessional loans. Ultimately, these will have to come as budgetary transfers from developed countries. Will this idea get backing from the big donors?
Well, first, the idea that more, the bigger part has to come from grants is absolutely obvious. When you have to deal with adaptation, you don't expect any kind of return. If you change your economy into a green economy, you may expect that the investment you make will produce some return in the coming years, and then you may build it starting from a loan. It has to be a very concessional loan, but a loan nevertheless. When you have to deal with things which has been destroyed and you need to rebuild without any kind of return which can be expected, only the fact that you will limit the consequences of climate change, then you need to do it through grants. And there's no other way to get these grants. At the end of the day, in whatever the financial process you build, there's no other way but budgetary transfer from advanced economies. Are they prepared to do that? So they say. Now they will have to prove it.